You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Sportscast.
Into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Did I ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You play ball like a girl!
Price is wrong, bitch.
The Binge Sportscast is back today. Been a while since it went away. Talking sports out of Detroit and NJ. With your hosts, TM and PJ. It all started in a cabin shot town. Talking sports while just driving around. Then to Moe's where we had a few rounds. We're Lollapalooza's love child. Binge Sports is back in town.
Binge Sports is back in town.
Binge Sports is back in town. Binge Sports is back in town.
Binge Sports is back in town.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
Hello. You play to win the game.
The playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
Oh boy.
Welcome everybody back to the Binge Sportscast. We're here with the newly married. All right, let's start. We are back with the original hosts. Welcome back, TM.
Yes, that was a wonderful intro, PJ. Thank you.
You are very
it's
welcome.
Great to be back.
I am PJ. We are here. We are the Binge Sportscast. We are back for not our regularly scheduled show, as you will hear, but we've been having discussions over the last couple weeks since the NFL season started that we really need to have this thing every week. There's way too much to discuss on a bi-weekly basis, so moving forward from this point through the NFL season, you will most likely be getting us once a week. And, you know, we're going to try to keep it concise. We're going to try to keep it moving. But it is what it is. We got lots to discuss. And first off, and most importantly, TM, how was the wedding? How was the honeymoon? It's been, I don't know, you were gone for 2 weeks, really. I mean, you're just coming back since the last time we talked to you was the NFL preview show, which was about 2 weeks ago. So how'd everything go?
Everything went better than expected, I would say. The wedding, we had no issues. We've used the word perfect. I know that's, you know, tough to say, but we were thrilled with the way everything went. We had a great time. We partied our asses off. Carrie's dad's band crushed the reception. We had fireworks. It was awesome. And then Hawaii, I don't think we have enough time to get into how good of a trip that was for us. I know you've been, so you had given me some recommendations, but you know, just it's tough to come home from paradise. But we did watch our football, 7 a.m. Hawaii time. We had Bills Jets game on. The local game on CBS was Raiders Titans, which I enjoyed thoroughly, as one of my brothers is a big Raiders fan, and I just like that team a lot. Love watching their offense. And we actually watched the Thursday night New England opener was on at 2:30 in the afternoon. So we had returned from the spa and some massages and sat down for lunch. And there was probably 15 Patriot fans at the pool bar. Very cocky during the pregame ceremony with the five Super Bowl trophies. But as we were walking to dinner, little later in the evening. There were not many happy campers at that bar, and as a Bill and a Dolphin fan, we walked by thoroughly enjoying that scene. So that added some spice to our Thursday night on our honeymoon.
Well, and you actually got, I don't know if it was a blessing maybe for you to watch the games, but maybe not so much for your team, but the Dolphins got postponed essentially. And so you didn't have to miss their opening game, right? Because they were playing Tampa Bay, and obviously Hurricane Irma postponed it for them to their bye week, which is now no longer a bye week, but you get to play Tampa and play 16 weeks straight, which, if you ask me, is kind of bullshit. I don't understand why they couldn't have just played it up at the new Falcons, you know, stadium, or, I mean, play anywhere, you know, north of the Florida state line, and you still would have got your bye week. How do you feel about it as a fan of the Dolphins?
Well, I mean, I didn't really want the game. I didn't want a home game played in Philly, which is what they were talking about. New Orleans, I think, was another one I heard that was, I don't know. I'm not excited. I mean, we lose a week 11 bye, which is a great spot for a bye. I can look at it from the positive and say it gave Cutler an extra week of preparation. We got a win in San Diego this weekend, LA. I we're off to a good start. But it was very disappointing. It's weird to have a week one and not have your team not playing. That's for sure. But, you know, momentum is a big part of the game. If they tire out in week 14, 15, and they were headed towards the playoffs and shit falls apart, people are going to obviously point to this, but let's have that problem in week 14 and we can talk about it then. I'll be thrilled to have that problem.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, yeah, yeah. And, I, you know, playing Tampa, we'll get into them in a few, but, you know, I wasn't excited to play them anyway, so maybe we can,
Anything else that kind of that sticks out to you that first week? I mean, obviously, besides, like you talked about, the Patriots losing, getting crushed.
Well, their defense looked like shit, New England, and that's exciting. You know, I can't sit here and have them go 14-2 or whatever. But maybe a couple things we'll get more into when we discuss week two, because I felt there's a few Jekyll and Hyde teams from week one to week two, and teams that surprised me in week one continue to surprise me in week two.
We can dive into those a little bit more. Yeah, maybe refresh our memories a little bit after going through these weeks. But team and I were talking that it's been a couple weeks. You know, we did the NFL preview show, and then last week we did and speaking on the college football preview show, you know, doing a podcast by yourself is much like drinking by yourself. Sounds like a great idea until you get into it and then you realize you're all alone and talking to nobody. So I hope not to have to do that again. I think it was okay, but TM, hopefully you're back now for a elongated period of time and we don't have to count on each other doing singular solo podcasts.
Yeah, I don't see myself going anywhere on a Tuesday night for a while. We've got we air Thursday, but we record Tuesday. But I'm in. I'm home. I need to make some money to pay for some expenses accrued. So, yes, I'll be around.
Excellent. So what I was going to say is that we haven't really touched on Major League Baseball very much. And there's been a couple of stories that have kind of come up here that, you know, we just want to at least touch on. We know that we've got, 10 or 12 or 10 games left, depending on when you listen to this. And the standings are, you know, teams are clinching and a couple things molding. And we've got a couple races still going on. But one thing that we wanted to touch on was this historic win streak by the Cleveland Indians. Now, TM, you were in Hawaii kind of when all this was still ramping up, when it really got up to this 18, 19, 20, you know, to the point where it was becoming a real thing that they were going to essentially beat the all-time winningest record. Now, we discussed that there's this, that the overall record by the New York Giants back in the 20s or 1926 or whenever it was, their win streak was 26 games and they had a tie in there. And you know a little bit more about it, TM, but were you able to follow this while you guys were in Hawaii, or did you even care about it, I guess, is the next question.
I kept my eye on it as much as possible, but honestly, baseball's been dead to me for over a month or more. So, you know, to be quite honest, yes, I knew it was going on. Yes, I would check the score, but I can't say much more than that because my team sucks, and it dejects me when the Mets are as bad as they were this year, because I am a very big baseball fan, but a baseball fan as a diehard Met fan. So I can't get into the rest of the league when my team is done, which they've been since June. So,
well, it makes it worse when you're a Tigers fan and the team that's on this historic run is in your own division.
And you were a part of that run.
Yes. Yeah, we were. Absolutely. And it was pretty brutal, I'm not going to lie. I mean, essentially, we are a AAA team at this point, which I'm fine with, obviously. But, there was no chance of any competition whatsoever on our behalf. So anyway, the Indians, 22 games in a row, which is, I mean, teams get fired up winning five games in a row. To win 22 in a row is just, it's an amazing thing. I kind of fear anybody who has to play Cleveland. I mean, hopefully they didn't kind of blow their load during this streak. But they are now the AL team to beat. You know, I was talking with some of our Cleveland fans on the Binge Media BMFML Facebook page, and I kind of said that they were struggling or kind of floundering a bit at the beginning of August, and then what do? They come out and win 22 straight. So I guess they showed me.
They're definitely a big hot pick at the beginning of the season to go back to the series too, and they were just kind of treading water above 500, for a while. But this, I mean, you know, they could now get home field, which is very interesting considering how, you know, it's like Houston had the big beginning of the year, now Cleveland's, you know, coming on at the end, so they actually have the lead now.
Yep.
Since, for home field.
So, yeah. Speaking of Houston, so the Indians, obviously, with this streak, they clinched the Central. In the American League, another team that clinched just, I think, this past week was Houston. And I've had a little bit of an eye on them since, obviously, Justin Verlander got traded to Houston. And, boy, is that something that's really working out for them. Justin Verlander in the three games with Houston has 21 innings pitched. He's 3-0, has given up two earned runs. He has 26 strikeouts and has an ERA under one. And, you know, you have this team that is struggling for starting pitching, and all of a sudden Justin Verlander looks like a rejuvenated, you know, the Cy Young pitcher from 2012. So it's going to be very interesting. And he knows Cleveland very well, obviously. So this American League playoff run is going to get pretty interesting down the line here.
All I got to say to that is, wow. I didn't know. To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't even know he was traded.
Yeah,
but
well,
I knew the Yankee fans around here, a lot of Yankee fans would call sports radio wanting him, and all the hosts are like, he's garbage, you don't want him, the contract's too big, yada, yada, yada. But I bet they're looking at that now saying, God damn it.
Yeah, so to give you – well, it essentially happened on the eve of your wedding. It was – literally at 11:30 p.m. on August 31st, you know, the witching hour of the waiver trade deadline. And I think the Tigers picked up about $8 million a year for his contract. But, you know, we got two pretty high end prospects and I think another player to be named later. But Houston did what they had to do. And it sounds like, I mean, at least for now, he clinched the division for them. I think it was on last Thursday. Maybe it was over the weekend. I can't remember, but it's working out for him now. And yeah, maybe like you said, the Yankees are sitting there kicking themselves because they could have had him. But I will say I'm very, very happy that he did not go to the Yankees. So now I can actually root for him in the playoffs. And, you know, especially if they're playing the Indians at some point during the playoffs. So
fair.
Anything else about Major League Baseball? Not really.
I mean, the wild card, there's still the Angels are alive and Milwaukee's alive.
Yep.
I would say that's about all you can say on either side there. And that's it. The Yankees are in, so we're going to have a playoff game in these parts. And the Cubs, another team that kind of was just treading water, is obviously in. And so let's see. We get a repeat. We could have a repeat series.
Yeah, we'll know more, obviously, maybe not next week, or we'll have an idea of maybe where everybody stands. It'll be the last push next week. And Giancarlo Stanton is still mashing the ball. He's got 55 home runs, so we'll see if he can get to 60 in the next 10 days. It's pretty exciting.
They're playing the Mets now, so he's racking them up. He put one out off them last night. They scored 13.
It's amazing how the runs start just ramping up later in these seasons. I mean, the Tigers have just been getting huge numbers put on them. And look at the box scores, and it's like 10, 11, 12. Although we did have one of our like B starters, you know, not even a starter during the season, but kind of an up-and-coming starter on Saturday, lost a no-hitter in the ninth with two outs.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awful.
Terrible. It was absolutely awful, especially for that kid. I mean, he's fine. He's a young kid, but yeah, he'll never recover from that. I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's rough.
Anyway, so we will, that's baseball talk. Yay, baseball. Anything else? Oh, well, speaking of college football, we talked on it a bit last week. And a little bit has happened this week, and TM has been in Sounders Lab East quite a bit here. So we have a new college football roundup for you. College roundup. PJ will break it down. Just give him time. College roundup. TM ain't got no fucking clue. He went D3. Amazing. That is a first listen for me, everybody. So yeah, as TM said, I'll talk about college football while he sits and drinks his beer. That was really just an excuse to play the sounder for the week because, as many of you know, not much really happened this weekend in college football. The big game of the weekend was Clemson, Louisville, and it really gave some insight into who Lamar Jackson is and how good Clemson's defense really is. It was a dominating performance by Clemson's D. I mean, their front four are going to be first round picks. I mean, I think Clemson is the best team in the country at this point, even over Alabama. I don't know how anybody can keep up with that defense. And Kelly Bryant looks like he is better than Deshaun Watson at this point. It's amazing to watch them. They have they've been on TV every weekend, and I've watched them more than anybody. And they're just a dominating team. And that's all I can say for now. Everybody they've played, they have manhandled essentially, and it's just very impressive.
They won't play right regular season. That's going to have to be in the tournament.
Okay. Yep. They're essentially, everybody should be moving now more or less into their conference play. The Big Ten kind of starts. I know some teams, you know, with these larger conferences now of 14, 16, they're starting to play some of their conference games because they have nine conference games. Some of them, like Ohio State, played Indiana the first week of the season so that they could kind of either have byes later in the season or play a non-conference opponent at another time. And so
What is up with that?
What do you mean? In terms
Is that normal, or is that something that they're trying to do to
You're talking about non-conference,
during conference play. Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought the first 2 weekends were always out of conference.
No, it was strange to me this year. So yeah, Ohio State essentially opened the season. They played Thursday night, right before Labor Day, against Indiana in conference. And it just must have been something that it must have been their decision, the schools, because, you know, I think the conferences will put together who they're going to play, and then the schools kind of have a little bit of flexibility in terms of their schedule, because they are the ones that are – the schools themselves are the ones that are scheduling these non-conference games. You know, when you do a home-and-home with Alabama or a home-and-home with Florida State, the conferences have nothing to do with that, right? So the conference play schedule gets – paired up, you know who you're going to play. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to speak like I know exactly what I'm talking about, but there's something in there where the schools must have talked and said, no, we're going to play this Thursday. We're going to open the college football season with this conference game. So,
yeah.
And sometimes that is like a team will say like, no, we want to play. Like I know Michigan, I don't think it's next year, but in one of these upcoming seasons plays Notre Dame mid conference schedule sometime like in October, for instance. And I don't know too much about it or the scheduling and all that. I'm sure you could find out, but either way, conference play.
Well, I'm intrigued by your Clemson comments. I'm like kind of perusing their schedule right now to see if
maybe
Florida State, but that game's at home.
And Florida State lost their quarterback for the season. And
So forget that. Yeah.
The ACC is not super strong right now. Florida State, obviously, it was Florida State and Clemson. And then everybody else is, I don't know who they, they played the team. I mean, they played A&M? No, it wasn't A&M. They played Auburn last weekend, and then they played Louisville, who's in the ACC now, this weekend. And that was, those are two of their tougher games, so.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that for sure.
So, yeah, if you get a chance to watch Clemson, just watch their defense. It's pretty impressive. Other than that, there was something else I was going to bring up. I don't know anymore. So,
so let's get to some
college football. Yeah, college football roundup. Yeah, that was great.
Everybody
loved it.
Great sounder. Great sounder.
Yes, absolutely. I guess we'll move on, right?
Let's do it. I'm excited. Talk some
League.
let's go around the league.
Oh my god, these are all first listens for me, everybody. Like I said, TM's been busy since his honeymoon and just been pumping out sounders like crazy. So yes, around the league, if you did not understand, this is the new segment, around the league with the NFL. We'll kind of talk about what happened and kind of see what's happening afterwards. So
I'd say first things first, we should start with the Monday night game this week.
Oh,
two reasons. One, because it's your team, and two, because boy, do the Giants stink.
Oh boy, do the Giants stink. Yes. So yes, I had a lot riding on last night's or this week's Monday night game. And obviously, the Lions were, I don't know if you want to call them a surprise team, but a lot of people didn't pick them to beat Arizona last week, and they did it pretty handily. I talked about it with Jack a little bit. They essentially were trying to give the game away. They had punting errors, special team errors, fumbles. Anyway, so the talk around town here, even though the Giants didn't look very good against the Cowboys, people just kind of thought it was a one-week thing. So a lot of people thought that the Giants were going to manhandle the Lions and the Lions would be the Lions. And obviously for any of you guys who watch these games, it was quite the opposite. What was the thoughts going into the game in New York, TM? Like what were people saying before the game?
Well, they were saying it's a must win. They were saying you got to win at home. They were saying the offensive line has to play better. They were saying Flowers, if he sucks, he's done. And yada, yada, yada. Look, I didn't go into this game that way at all. I'm bartending last night at a local bar, Giants fans lining the seats. And I quietly, if I was betting, I would have bet the Lions all day long. The Giants are trash. They look so bad in Dallas. There's no way they were going to turn. They're not going to turn it around this week. I think your team struggled a little bit against Arizona early, but found something, put it together, yeah, and scored 45 points and fucking rolled. And what's a bigger confidence booster than that? And Stafford, I mean, he's a stud. There's nothing else I can say. You're a good team. You make the playoffs almost every year. I don't see how anybody – I mean, the Giants minus three line I think was off big time. Should have been minus one just because they were home. I don't see where the confidence came, and I'm the idiot who picked the Giants to go to the Super Bowl and win it. And right now, I don't see them winning eight games. They are putrid.
Yeah, they just – I mean, that offensive line is as bad as anything, and if – as a Lions fan, I know very well what it's like to be a fan of a team that has no offensive line. I mean, you can't do anything. Your quarterback can't do anything. And say what you will about Eli Manning, but if you don't have time to read a defense or have time to step or a pocket to step up in or to step up into, you can't run the ball. You know, the D line is just pin their ears.
They have
back.
No running back. They have no running back anyway. Beckham is not 100%, and I still think he's a distraction. And Marshall dropping balls just like he does
brutal. All
with every team. Even Ingram dropped that one late in the game. I mean, it was kind of a bang bang play where it basically hit his hands and then your defender hit him.
Right, but it was still on his hip. If you would have caught it, in his hands or in his arms, he should have kept it. But
that's a drop. I mean, it's a drop. It's a tough play, but it's a play that stars would make. You're right. I mean, Eli's got no time. The big talk here, as far as on sports radio with the fan base is concerned, everybody's flipping out, of course, about Flowers, but they're really really aggressive on the play calling.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of talk I listened to earlier. It sounds like they might actually give the offensive coordinator the play calls this week and not McAdoo, the head coach. So that's interesting.
Yeah, sure. And that's what I know. There were a lot of boo birds,
they were booing in the first drive.
Right. And
it was crazy.
To a certain extent, I was sitting there watching the play calling and surprised at what they were trying to accomplish. I mean, the Lions are the perfect example of at least know what you have and what you should be doing. You know, Stafford 3 or 4 years ago set the record for most passing attempts in a season with 745. Yes. And that was all because we had no offensive line. We had no running backs. And, you just put the ball in the hand of your best player and you just go with it. Now, it didn't necessarily mean, we weren't going to beat anybody, and I don't think we were making the playoffs at that point, but it at least gave you the best chance to win. And I heard something on the radio today that the reason why the Giants stuck with this group, this offensive line group, was because, it's a second year, they'll get better. But that only works with younger players that have potential. From everything that I've heard, Flowers literally has no business being on a football field as a starting tackle.
Yeah, but he was a big prospect. He's not progressing. He was so bad last year, it's amazing that they took that approach.
Right.
And they didn't sign. They didn't make any. I mean, I did should have done more research before I made my pick earlier in the year, because they did nothing to address the offensive line. I mean, Miami is kind of like, you know, same boat as Detroit Giants. We always have offensive line struggles, but every year they change it up. Every year there's at least two new guys in. I mean, they sign free agents, they spend money, they make trades, they do it. They at least try to address it. The right. Giants didn't do a single thing. So not knowing that makes me kind of look like a fool with my picks, but you got to just go look at the rest of the Giants schedule. I mean, you figure best case scenario when good teams are 0-2, but they're still considered to be good teams, you figure they're going to get to 500, 2-2, 3-3, you know, 4-4 at worst. So you can still hopefully win 10 games. Their schedule, there's no fucking way, man. Yeah. I mean, they might win in Philly this week coming up, because it's a division game, but not if they play like they have the last two. No. They play like they have the last 2 weeks. The Philadelphia is going to have a fucking street party.
Yeah,
well, that city's going to go. You should go down there and hang out.
Yeah, that's
going to be wild.
That's the. I mean, it's a good kind of segue into just some of these other games, like talking about the NFC East, and the Eagles look pretty good against the Chiefs, who, you know, manhandled New England the week before, and granted they still lost by 7, but that game was pretty close throughout the game. And you know, and the Redskins, I mean, the Redskins are the Redskins, but the Cowboys, obviously they didn't do shit and got their asses kicked by the Broncos, who nobody had picked. I mean, we all said, you know, maybe the Broncos are going to be third in the AFC West. And now the Broncos are looking like maybe the strongest team out of that division. I mean, it's the NFC East, right?
I know, it's okay. We'll get to Denver in a second. But I just want to say one thing on Philly before we move off the NFC East. No. Wentz looks like the real deal.
Like, you know,
I like this kid. He looks good.
Yep.
I mean, statistically, if you want to talk fantasy, he's looking good. And that's a big thing for them because they've got a good D. Great,
you know,
tight end.
You know when I heard this? Heard this? Last season through 5 games, and then he turned into absolute dog shit. So this year I'm going to hold off to see what Wentz really is. Because remember that Philly team was what? They were 3-0. Or 3-1, they were manhandling people, and then they came to Detroit, the Lions beat them, and then they just kind of fell apart. And I don't know, maybe that was the rookie thing, and then maybe it was the, you know, him just kind of falling off a little bit. But typically, that's this sophomore season isn't the best for young quarterbacks. You know, teams are starting to get an idea of what they're doing. And we'll see, though. I haven't been able to watch, you know, like the Phillies play live, you know, just watching highlights. So I know they've got ex-Lions coach Jim Schwartz as their D coordinator, which we have our own issues with him in general, but it'll be
he brings the love wherever he goes. He was a stud in Buffalo.
Oh yeah, that's right.
As far as the Skins are concerned, I mean, the jury's out on them. They're kind of shaky. Jekyll and Hyde first week, but the Cowboy Bronco game, oh my God.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? You've got LaDainian Tomlinson calling out Zeke on the post game saying that he quit on his team.
Yeah. That is just, for as much shit as he's gone through and as much as he's done to get back on the field, you think that he would be as hungry as anybody to prove, I don't know that it proves anything, but just to be able to be the guy that he is or you know, was showed that he was last year. Yeah, I don't know. That's what they said. I heard something today that Jason Garrett was going to have a sit down with Zeke about his lack of effort, which, you know, 2 weeks into the season, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, they got their ass handed to them. That's it. But I'm going to say this, though. All right. Denver's 2-0. They blew out the Cowboys, yada, yada. And none of us, we were looking at them 9-7, 8-8
Yep.
You know, it's two wins at home. So, and I'm not saying they're going to lose this week in Buffalo, but I'm going to say, can we all please take a deep breath and see this game, this team fly across the country and play a game on the East Coast? Because it is hard to play in Denver.
Yep.
It is. The conditions are severe on the opponents. All that stuff plays a factor. I don't care if you want to say that I'm trying to be a Broncos hater or not. I'm just not sold yet. Simeon does look better than expected. And I'm not going to lie, I put in a waiver claim for him in one of my leagues where I have a very weak quarterback situation. But that being said, I could see Buffalo winning this game. I know that sounds crazy, and we'll get to that in a bit, but I'm not sold on that team yet. And right. Division's – it's – I mean, you got them, they're 2-0, KC's 2-0, and the Raiders are 2-0. Yeah, so –
it's
one of those three teams is probably not making the playoffs, and I would still put my money that that team at this point is Denver.
Well, we will see.
We will see.
You know, it's funny. It, like, whenever they start, I guess, their divisional games, it'll be fun to watch. I'm glad it's out there. It's West Coast. Maybe we'll see a lot more of those games, you know, being a little bit later, you know, a lot of the 4 o'clock games. A lot of good
yeah,
games.
Yeah, totally.
Coming that way. So
I was following the, you know, like Dolphins, I'm watching Dolphins Chargers, and when the score on the bottom just kept coming up with the Denver Dallas game, I'm like, first of all, there was like the lightning delay for about 45 minutes.
Yep.
And then it's just Denver touchdown. I'm like, well, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, I was just glad I didn't have any significant players in fantasy. Cause yeah. I was just like, holy shit. Something crazy is going on in that game.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is too, is I'm always a fan of the team playing the Cowboys, you know, I'm not like this super hater, but I hate the love that the Cowboys get. I hated everything that all the accolades they were getting last year. I never thought they were, what did they end up 13-3 last year? They were nowhere near that good of a team. They won the games they were supposed to. Mind you, I'm always a proponent of, hey, beat the people on your schedule. You are what your record is. But I think we're going to find out really what this team is this year. And it's looking like the division that may have been the strongest in the NFC may be the weakest in the NFC at this point. Because, you know, you could get the winner at 9-7 out of that division this year. So
very true. It's a very good point.
So what other teams looking, you know, we got a first look at Tampa this week, which, you know, a lot of people are high on their explosive
as advertised. Yes. Yep. They look good.
They played the Bears, and I had always picked the Bears as being one of the worst teams in the NFC, but to go on another NFC South team, they played the first week they played Atlanta. And had four, I don't know if you saw this, TM, they had four shots. They were first and goal, down 6 against Atlanta with 30 seconds on the clock, and had four shots to get it in the end zone and failed on every single one of them.
My family and I had the Falcons as a survivor pick that week, and I watched all four downs and... Yeah, and because of that, this week I went and picked the Packers to go into Atlanta and beat them, and boy, was myself and Jack Valley quite wrong on that pick. Now, the one factor in this game, which I did not research as I was in the great state of Hawaii and kind of just throwing picks in the wind. Yep. I didn't realize that Atlanta was opening their stadium this weekend. If I knew that, I would not have even touched this game, because I tend to not ever bet against Rodgers. But let me say this. Atlanta looks good. Yeah. Atlanta looks real good.
Now you talk about
like eight wins at home. Good.
Yeah.
Is how they, yes, this is one of my Jekyll and Hyde teams, but listen, a road win in Chicago week one, a win is a win. You take it and you go home. I mean,
yeah. And Chicago's never easy to play at. And Atlanta is a stadium team. Like you said, they'll probably win eight.
Oh yeah. Put them on turf.
Right.
Yeah.
and you go to Soldier Field, real grass, and you know the Bears are a tough team. You know, they're not a team that people are gonna, you know, essentially accuse of giving up. And you know, I didn't get to watch them, you know, fully this weekend, but they're, you know, they have some talent over there, but I never thought it. I mean, you saw four downs to essentially beat the NFC champs from last year.
Right.
So speaking on that, so this next week's game, week three, will tell you a lot about where the Lions are and where Atlanta is, because Atlanta comes to Detroit. Is Atlanta the team that beat Green Bay, or is Atlanta the team that almost lost to Chicago? Same with the Lions. You know, did the Lions look good against the Giants because the Lions are great, or did they look good against the Giants because the Giants are dog shit? We'll see. It'll be a very telling game.
You're correct. That is a very telling and very interesting game. And I would like your opinion on the Packers because, all right, so week one, you know, I wasn't on last week. Week one, the Packers beat Seattle. And it's like, oh, my God, the Pack has a defense. Ty Montgomery, yada, yada, yada. And then they basically lay – I mean, you know, you can look at the Falcons-Packers game from the other perspective and say that Green Bay laid an egg. So – week one, they have a D. And now week two, they get smoked. So I don't see it. I'm not going to start preaching Packer Nation this season. I'm watching the same team. I understand they had a lot of injuries, but.
So there were two things. There were two.
I watched that whole game.
I'm totally with you. They looked very unimpressive. Yeah. And the thing is you go and you look at the Seahawks, who Green Bay beat in week one, 19-6 or 17-6, whatever it was. And then you go and look at the Seahawks who
it was 16-9.
Yep. And then you go look at the Seahawks this week who, you know, eked out a win against the 49ers 12-9. The Seahawks have their own issues. So again, was that win that impressive by Green Bay in Green Bay? Or is it that Seattle really wasn't that good and the Green Bay team that we saw against Atlanta was what they are? In Detroit here, we've been talking about it a little bit because we signed TJ Lang, who the Packers, you know, the ex-Packers guard, who's from the state of Michigan, so he had a little bit of incentive to come home. But the Packers didn't want to pay him. He was a Pro Bowler in 2015. And they didn't do anything with their offensive line to replace him. And we clearly saw against Atlanta, they had no answer for Atlanta's defense. Nobody's going to say Atlanta's defense is the end-all be-all. Now, they're a fine defense, and they're better, I think, than people give them credit for. But the Packers couldn't do anything.
It's what they had to address.
Right. And
they did. I think they might have. You know.
The thing is that everybody looks at the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and he is an elite quarterback and he's awesome. And I would love to have him as my quarterback, but there comes a certain point when you cannot fix all of your team's problems with one guy. And people talk about Tom Brady the same way, but people also forget that they have Bill Belichick and, you know, two of the best coordinators in the game that nobody gives credit for. So
A better example there
would be
Drew Brees.
Okay, exactly.
Because you see how bad the fucking Saints are. And everybody will still, and I'm going to be guilty of it in my picks this week, but you still give that team a fighting chance because of Drew Brees. But I would say that that's very similar to the Packers situation.
Yep.
Like you said, I mean, it's one guy. I mean, granted, again, I will say, man, like Jordy being out, Cobb got hurt late in the game. Like, they're banged. That team was banged up. But the other thing that this game raises issue-wise for me that I wanted to get your take on is just, like, take Jekyll and Hyde to the next level. Home and away. How many teams every year are so good at home and then just continuously lay eggs on the road? And that is my theory with Denver coming up the next couple weeks.
Yep.
And maybe that's the Packer. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's the Packer thing you've had. Like Atlanta, although they won the Chicago game, kind of look like two different teams.
Yep. I mean, like the Lions have been that way for a long time. You know, they playing either in, you know, they've always been an indoor team. And I think it happens with teams that are indoor teams, right? You get used to playing on turf and then you go and you play outdoors, you play on real grass and you may struggle a bit. So
yeah, it's indoor teams and it's also like New England fans and Denver fans. And you, like you get those, like even Baltimore, you get those crowds, those people. It's like the 12th man. Seattle's not indoor. You know, you just got that raucous environment. That's hard to plan. Like I envy every team that has that because Miami, I mean, I've been to probably five games down there and I'm always nauseous because you look around the stadium. I can remember it was 50% Packer green the last time I went. I've been walking out of that stadium with Jet fans owning the entire upper deck, doing the J-E-T-S chant. I've had Baltimore Raven purple in one entire end zone. It's like these fans, everybody goes to Miami. It's a fun weekend to get away and see our team. And fucking Miami fans, they don't show up.
Yeah.
They don't care down there.
Yep.
And it's a fucking disaster. So there's no such thing as home field advantage. But I will say this, hilarious this weekend, the cheers for Miami in LA were, it was like a home game.
Oh,
when that kid, when Koo missed that field goal,
there was
an eruption. I thought it was good because of the crowd react, because you couldn't really tell first look on TV. And I was like, oh, he missed it. And then the crowd cheered. I'm like, did he make it? And then you see the Dolphins celebrate. And I was like, fuck yeah. But the Kenny Stills post game interview, he's like, oh man, this was great. It was like a home game. I want to thank the fan base for traveling and support. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, man.
That's crazy.
But I think that plays a huge part home road. Some of these teams that are so dominant are just putrid on the – and you know what's another big culprit of that is the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like they are brutal. That was – I mean, we'll see this year, but last year they were so bad on the road.
Well, I mean, look at it. I mean, they had to go to overtime with Indy this week just to beat them. And
right. Oh, God. Well, look, I'm suffering with Carson Palmer week by week.
Oh, there you go.
So we'll talk more about that.
So what
a couple other games I'm going to glance over quick. If you have anything to say about them, go ahead.
Go with
Steelers Vikings with Bradford out. That was kind of a boring contest. I don't know what's going on with Le'Veon Bell, but I'm glad Martavis Bryant finally woke up a little.
Yeah, and I think it proves that the Vikings, you know, greatest quarterback performance of his life, Sam Bradford against the Saints, really shows how bad the Saints are.
Yeah.
And
it might be his last.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
Well, Another home and away team right there is the Steelers. Brutal on the road. Brutal. Roethlisberger has been, you know, historically brutal on the road, but always seems to win at home.
So talk about what about these Bills that you had said, you know, that you think the Broncos are going to struggle against the Bills. Now the Bills have they scored a touchdown yet this year? I mean,
yes, against the Jets.
And that score was like 12. Oh, God.
We watched the whole game. We got a great Reddit stream at home. We did not leave the apartment. We ordered in breakfast. That was like, you know, we got home from Hawaii. We crashed out like 3-4 in the morning, woke up, played a gig with the Kicks, crashed out again. And we woke up at like 12 o'clock on Sunday and we're just like, are we honestly going to a bar for this shit? And then we found a stream and I probably watched more of this game than Carrie did because she was getting so pissed. That she was taking to social media, Emo Kev making his comments, very entertaining. But I kind of believe in Buffalo's defense. As a Dolphin fan, I'm worried that they are not two easy wins because I like their D a lot. Their offense just I don't know what's going on there. It looks horrendous. Like I mean, I said the Panthers would be like a turnaround team this year, but I don't see their DB in like shutdown. So it was just a really sloppy game, very defensive. The Bills also run the ball a ton and short pass a ton, so the clock is always running.
Right.
So I don't see a lot of high scoring games coming with them either. And then if you look on the other side of the ball and you got Cam sacked, he wasn't just getting sacked. He was getting destroyed.
Yep.
And I can't help but admit that I was kind of enjoying it. But Olsen going out for them is huge.
Yeah.
So even at 2-0, I mean, I see that it's like kind of Tampa's division to win.
Yeah, and that's what
at this point. But yeah, not a very exciting game. 9-3, you know.
Yeah. So the other thing, so I didn't even bring it up, and it's my favorite thing to bring up with you. What's up with your boy Jay Cutty? How you feeling this week? Where's the meter level with Jay Cutler this week?
I'd say we'd click it up, and I think I said 6 last time. I'll take it to a 7. First half, I was not thrilled, although he plunked the cheerleaders with that Hail Mary at the end of the first half, which kind of had me laughing a little.
If you guys haven't seen, look up the
The play calling was disastrous.
Yeah. I was going to say, look up the Jay Cutler halftime Hail Mary on Twitter or something and find the clip of it. He literally chucks the ball 30 yards out of bounds and nails a cheerleader that's 30 yards past the sidelines. It was pretty incredible. It was Jay Cutler slinging it. I loved it. But in general, like, so you're saying that the play calling isn't what you hoped it would be, or... Oh, we lost TM. Shit. Well, I'm talking to myself here.
Yes, there you are.
Oh, you there.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I was explaining how awesome the Hail Mary out of bounds was and telling everybody to look it up. All right, we're back. Sorry. Wouldn't be a binge cast without technical difficulties per usual. But I was speaking a little bit on Cutler, and TM was going to just give his opinion a little bit as to how he's feeling.
Well, at 1-0, I'm feeling very good. 230 and a touchdown. Nothing to scoff at. I am going to raise my Cutler meter from a 6 to a 7. I will be attending this week's Dolphins at Jets game with my youngest brother, Patrick, also diehard, probably a bigger Dolphin fan in terms of knowing more than me. and we're bringing our father, Shooter,
very nice,
to the game. Yes. So the family line of Dolphins will be attending this game together. It's called the MetLife Takeover.
I was going to ask, do you have to worry about showing up to, it's the Jets, so probably not. But have you in the past, maybe when the Jets have been better, worried about showing up to Jets games in Dolphin gear? How do you guys handle it?
It's a very good question, PJ. I will give you an honest answer. I have gone to several Dolphins at Jet ball games in neutral colors.
Sure.
I will not subject myself to the torment that comes from the assholes that exist in that stadium. I have had beers dumped on me. I've had hot dogs thrown at the back of my head, all while winning, of course, but we do not win every game. I was first row on the field, on the goal line for the Jumbo Elliott catch at the Monday Night Miracle.
Ooh.
One of the worst sports experiences of my life.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk about that another time. I've also had some great moments at the stadium. I'm looking forward to this weekend, although as I will be with every season and with every Dolphins game, cautiously optimistic, because God knows disasters do happen. And I will wear a jersey. I believe I'm going to go with Landry this weekend, who was a stud last weekend. Should have had a touchdown, but Cutler missed him.
Yep.
So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be wearing my Landry garb. I'll be with my brother and my father. We will tailgate hard, and we'll be sitting with at least, I mean, they fill at least two sections a year with this MetLife takeover. I don't know if MetLife actually gives them the rights to the tickets. There's so many Dolphins fans in these two sections. So there's a big tailgate pregame. There's beer pong. There's a bunch of nonsense. And then usually when the Jets are this bad, there's not a lot of flack in the stadium.
Right.
They usually just look at us and say, they got nothing to say. And they usually just leave.
Yep.
But again, in division, they have somewhat of a defense. I don't want to anoint ourselves the victors, but it'll be fun. Hopefully fun to talk about on next week's sportscast.
Yes, and I will be doing the same, tailgating for the Lions Atlanta game, home game for Detroit this week. Big, big game. And I will I'll shoot a Twitter pic to everybody out there, show you our tailgate. And everybody else, you know, tweet us, or if you guys are at games, let us know. We like to see everybody's tailgates. And Emo Kev, yeah, keep showing us all these Buffalo fan tailgate videos, because you guys are animals and your team's terrible. And, you know, it seems to be par for the course with your fan base. Oh, the other thing I was going to say.
Are you a season ticket holder?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Been for.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, for seven seasons now. We bought in right kind of when they fired Matt Millen. Tickets were cheap. Tickets, you could get really good seats, you know, so our seniority is like pretty good. And we typically go about five games a year, I'd say, you know, of the eight. We always sell our Thanksgiving tickets because we like to just be with families. We can make a little money on them. And I don't know.
Nice. So, very nice.
I was going to say, as you were talking about asshole fans and dirtbags of the Jets fans and not wanting to get shit dumped on you, all I was going to say is, being a U of M alum and having visited the Buckeyes in Ohio, I know all about asshole, dickhead, douchebag, dirt fans that call themselves Buckeyes. Anyway, listen,
we can go on about this for a long time. People say Philly's the worst. I mean, it probably is, but I don't know if I would go to a Dolphin game in Philadelphia. I would if one of my buddy Johnny, who's an Eagle fan from South Jersey, if he took me, I would go, but I would totally go neutral colors.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. There's no shame in going neutral colors to save your life, essentially. You know what I mean? That's what.
Well, I don't want them. I'm paying money. Right? I don't want to get a beer. You know, I've literally had beers thrown at me. Yeah. Like, how is that a good time?
Yeah. I mean, there's people.
And I think the Dolphins lost that game.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's people who drive to the Michigan-Ohio State game from Michigan and will go into Toledo, will rent a car, and then drive to Columbus so that their cars don't get keyed with the Michigan license plate on them. So you go into Toledo, you could rent a car, it's got an Ohio license plate on it, and then you drive to Columbus.
You know, I gotta say something real quick. And, you know, the Jameson Black Barrel has been flowing during this podcast. But the more I listen to you and Law talk about Michigan, that might be the team that I get on board with.
Yeah.
Just cause it seems like a binge thing.
Well,
and I might start to pay a little more attention to the Michigan season.
I like that.
Not in basketball, though. When we get to college basketball, that'll be a different story. But as far as football is concerned, I might get on board.
Well, we will definitely take you. I have many of New York. One of my best friends, one of my roommates in college was from New York. I mean, Michigan has a ton of New York students. So we're always welcoming the New York fans to come.
We have a Michigan bar. We have a Saturday Michigan bar here in Hoboken.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love it. All right, let's
get to our picks. There's a couple teams I think we're going to discuss in these picks here that we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah.
Sounder.
By picking the best I can, but when they come and take my house and my car, my wife don't understand. I fucking suck at gambling.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. So we're back to the picks, our weekly picks. Last week, TM, you've got it all there. Why don't you?
All right, I'll give you the breakdown. So in week two, we had PJ went 2-1. Our guest picker, Jack Valley, also went 2-1. And myself, I had an off week. I went 1-2. So the total so far this season, we have PJ at 4-2. Myself at 4-2. And we've had Jack Valley as our guest twice, and he is 3-3, and he will participate this week in picks.
Yes. Yep. Last week, you guys both took the Packers, right? I think it was a +3 for the Packers, and obviously they did not get there. I'm trying to think the game that I dropped.
I got to tell you that I love your pick that I should have made and I didn't. Was the San Fran +13.5.
Such a huge number. Yeah.
It's such a big number. I actually, my family and I took them as one of our two survivor picks, and I tried to talk them off initially, and then I read some articles on how much Seattle has dominated San Francisco at home. So I was like, fine, like, let's do it. But there was something about that game that worried me, and when it was friggin' 6-6, I was just like, this is going to happen. Like, San Fran is going to pull this out. So we avoided that. I think Seattle blows. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to watch them do another game. And then I think we're going to analyze that team a little bit because I'm getting a little tired of the 12th man. Sorry, Emin Gilmert, but I'm kind of tired of it. Yeah. So.
All right. So you want to go first? You want me to go?
Well, how about this? I will read Jack Valley's picks first, then I'll do mine, and then you can finish.
All right. Go with it.
All right. All right. Here we go. So, Jack Valley this week picks the Titans -3, the Packers -9, and of course, the Patriots -13.
What was the first game?
The Packers -9. Yes, I have a issue with that pick as well.
I was just gonna bring up the picks here, but all right. What do you think about those picks? Did you take any of those picks? I guess first and foremost, can we talk about one of these picks that we all have essentially?
Okay, so you're right. So I do believe you and I and Jack share the pick, which would be Titans -3 at home against Seattle. And we just did a little talk on Seattle prior to this. My take is Seattle has looked like shit 2 weeks in a row, home and away. They finally scored a touchdown late to beat Fran at home. It wasn't to Baldwin, so I was pissed as hell. Yep. But Tennessee is like Tampa to me. They're the AFC version of Tampa Bay. They're a team that rebuilt, has gone through the suffering, showed some life last year. They have the young Mariota and I can't think of the Tampa guy right now.
James Winston.
Winston, you know, basically same timeline, if not the same draft, growing up together. I love Tennessee. I think they've looked good. They lost to Oakland, but I mean, I'm going to talk about Oakland all season. I'm very high on them. So, yeah, I see this as a big spot for Tennessee to put a little bit of a mark in the AFC, win a big game, and show us all that Seattle is regressing week by week here. And I've taken them, as you have as well. Yes. What do you think?
Yep. I totally agree. The Seattle has shown nothing. Their offensive line, like we talked about forever, is garbage. They can't protect Russell Wilson. They have no running back. They have six running backs, which means they have no running back. And they're not at home. I mean, they're going to Tennessee. So, I mean, essentially it's a pick 'em, you know, Tennessee getting the three for being at home. But I mean, Seattle scored 12, and what did we say they scored against Green Bay? 9? Against two pretty bad.
It was 17-9, yeah. Yeah,
two pretty bad defenses in general. So I don't think Seattle will be able to keep up, like you said. I like Tennessee's offense. Yes, they remind me of the Bucks, and they should be pretty good. So, yeah, I like that -3 Tennessee at home. Jack also had the pack against Cincinnati. 9's just a big, big number. Cincinnati's got to figure out something. They're the biggest surprise. We didn't even talk about them. Cincinnati's the biggest surprise of, I think, in the league for me. They still haven't scored a touchdown.
They're probably more desperate for a win than the Giants. Yeah. They're probably the two most desperate teams in football. Yep.
And then what was Jack's other pick? It was the Green Bay.
Patriots -13 at home against Houston.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we don't even need to analyze that. I mean, what is it? It's 13, right? I mean, it's a big number, but Houston's 13. Terrible. They're not going to be able to score. They could win that game 14-0. You know, who knows? So, all right, I'll go next. So, besides the Tennessee -3 at home, now, TM, I know you're not high on Denver. I'm not necessarily high on Denver, but I'm pretty low on Buffalo, too. So, Denver giving 3 to go to Buffalo in the middle of the summer, essentially. It's going to be 85 degrees in New York and, you know, in the East this weekend. So, I don't know. I don't see Buffalo doing anything. I don't see them keeping up with Denver. I think Denver's defense is still really, 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 really good. And Buffalo hasn't shown that they can score. I mean, they played a pretty decent defense in Carolina this weekend, you know, and they put up whole 3 points. And maybe Denver isn't this 42-point juggernaut like they were against the Cowboys at home, but I just don't see Buffalo keeping up with them. And the -3 to me is a good number. The other game, which I don't know, this line just surprises me when I look at it, is the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Chargers and only giving 3. The Chargers, as we found out, like you talked about, TM, against the Dolphins, essentially had it was an away game, and I just don't see them keeping up with Kansas City. Kansas City, I think, is one of the most complete teams in the league, defense, offense. They're not flashy. They've got a great tight end. They've got good wide receivers, and their defense is solid. I like Andy Reid as a coach, so my other pick is KC giving the points. So, other than that, we will.
nothing wrong with that reprise, right?
Yeah,
there.
Right. It looped on me. But yes, so Denver -3, KC -3, and Tennessee -3.
Woo! 3 favorites.
That's right.
Wow. I'll tell you what. The KC pick. Actually, the Denver and the KC. All right, I'm not going to comment. Let me give my other two. It's not my place to comment on yours right here.
Oh, hey, you're more than welcome to.
All right, well, we'll get to the Denver one. KC's a good pick. I just, you know, it's an in-division on the road. It's an interesting pick. San Diego has lost 2 heartbreakers. They really should have tied Denver and beat Miami. So, not tied, but you know what I mean. That kicker has lost them 2 games. So, tough there. All right, my other two picks. So I'm probably making a huge mistake doing this, but I did sit and watch the Panthers' entire game on Sunday versus Buffalo, and they scored 9 fucking points when they were healthy. Now Olsen's out. I didn't see anything from Cam that showed me that he is going to step up from last year's disgraceful season. And I'm going to sit here and pretty much go against what we discussed earlier about Aaron Rodgers and essentially Drew Brees. And I'm taking the Saints in Carolina +6. The only reason is because I think it's too many points. Carolina will probably win 17-14. 2017. My dog does not like this pick at all. But that I always like to take a dog, a heavy dog. You always like to take points when you're trying to gamble. So this was the only game where I liked the points. So I'm going to take Saints +6. I look at maybe a shootout. I don't really see too much defense on either side. I mean, to me, Buffalo's offense is that weak, and that's why that score was that low. So, you know, give me Saints, or, you know, even if it'd be like Panthers 28-24, something like that.
All right.
Third pick, Baltimore, -4. This team, I don't understand. I would have picked them to be 6-10, 5-11. All the reports at a camp, everything I've read online, they were taking a huge step back. There was nothing positive. Flacco was this and that.
Yep.
Yada, yada. Yes, they beat the Browns, but they also shut out Jacksonville on the road. Their defense looks like it did in 2000. Oof. Suggs is on fire. I'm going to get on board here until, you know, it's a mistake and it's Jacksonville. So Ravens -4. Now, the one thing about your Denver pick, which I did want to say, and this is not a homegrown pick, and this is not to make my wife happy, but I do think there is a chance that Buffalo will beat Denver this weekend, because I see it as Denver flying across the country, coming back to sea level, and possibly laying an egg, and Simeon sucks. And I do think Buffalo has a good defense. But that's not a pick. That's just me commenting on your pick.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is Simeon's looked good, but is he good? That is the big question. So, I don't know.
Well, who's out there with him? McCoy? The ex-coach of San Diego is out working with him?
Yeah.
You know. So that, but how far does that take him?
Yeah, I mean, he is Trevor Siemian. I don't know.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. Well, those are the picks for the week. Anything else that we need to cover? I don't, you know. Oh.
Well, I'll make a quick comment that I'm 2-0 in binge fantasy.
Oh, God. I don't even. TM's 2-0, and I am unbearable 0-2, and not even like a good 0-2, just like a pathetic 0-2. Now, I will throw out the caveat that I did lose the number one overall pick in David Johnson, you know, in the first half of the first game, but that doesn't excuse my terrible, terrible, you know, replacements for him when I'm leaving 30 points on the bench. So maybe next week we'll get into it a little bit more. We'll have an idea of maybe who the real teams are and who they're not, but good on all of you.
Let's give a shout out to Chad Suit, who is the number one team, and I am sitting quietly behind him because somehow he is 40 something points ahead of me, which is impressive.
Very impressive.
Yes. But a lot of game left.
Yes. And then this upcoming week, I get to play the other bottom feeder, one of the bottom feeders in the league, which is Bruce from the UAE, that him and I both had real, real rough losses. His in the first week, mine in the second. But I don't know. Otherwise, we've got I don't know. We got a bunch of 1-1 teams. We got 4 2-0 teams. Be with Mr. Jack Valley, TM, Chad C, as you said, and Nick Fortuna. Your top four teams at 2-0. So,
shout out to Nick Fortuna and that amazing team name, by the way. I love it.
Otherwise, we'll go ahead.
Well, nah, I don't want to blow smoke up anybody's ass at this point. Let's just have another week play out. It's quite early.
Very early. Yes. And one thing that Jack and I talked about a little bit was, and we didn't really discuss this week, was how putrid the NFL was the first week. This week, much, much better. Lots of points scored. The first week, 9 teams didn't even score a touchdown, which was very apparent in fantasy. So,
great point. I also think that it's even still like week two, like fantasy is very shoddy. There's a lot of desperate moves being made. I mean, I'm a keeper of Le'Veon Bell, who won a championship last year, and doing my best to bite my tongue because, you know, I'm actually 2-0 in that league. I won the first week, like in the lowest scoring game in the league's like 18-year history, 72-65.
Awesome.
And then this week,
that makes people really happy who score over 100 points when you win 72.
I know, you look at the league and it's like, I played the only person I could have beat this week.
Exactly.
That's got a lot to do with it, man. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell, it's interesting. He's done nothing. He has not scored.
Well, and it comes back to, like Jack and I talked about, is it the preseason, you know, or the lack there of a preseason for a lot of these teams?
With him, I think it is.
For sure. But that's even with some of the teams not playing or scoring last week, you know, guys are just playing less and less in the preseason. Even if they're in camp for the whole time, they're just playing less in games, or quarterbacks are playing and wide receivers
aren't. The teams are just shrugging it off as a nonsense games.
Exactly.
Can you imagine – two things I got to say to you real quick. Can you imagine having A.J. Green?
Oh, my God. And just
he's a keeper in one of my leagues.
Oh, it's terrible.
And Kerry TM just got home and – gave me the non-audio David Johnson look, and she doesn't understand that you're dealing with the same thing. Yes. But she is not happy.
Yeah, it's a rough one because they're claiming he's going to come back, but it's going to be too late at that point. So
yeah, well, look, PJ, I told her she had the number one pick in the league that we're in together, and I said take Le'Veon Bell, and she listened to her friends, and she took David Johnson.
Well,
so,
I will
whether
say
this might not have made a big difference at this point, it's going to obviously in the next 6 weeks.
I will say the Detroit Lions are now responsible for killing two, you know, number one or number two draft picks in the last 4 years. The first year that Jamal Charles tore his ACL was against Detroit, week one, on the sidelines of our season tickets. So I watched him run into the first down marker guy and tear his ACL. And then I watched David Johnson dislocate his wrist this week. So next time,
maybe it's you.
Maybe. So next year, don't take anybody that's playing the Lions the first week of the season, because they'll be gone for the season and then you'll be screwed like the rest of us.
It could be more of a jinx than the Madden cover.
Oh,
we might be on to something here.
We might be. The PJ, seriously. The PJ Detroit Lions home game curse.
Tweet it right now so we get claim to this.
Anyway, I think that's all we got. Anything else, TM? We said we're going to fill the time. I think we did a good job. Next week we'll be back. We'll talk about more games, and maybe the Major League Baseball is a little bit clearer. We'll see.
Correct. We will we'll touch a little more on baseball next week, but looking forward to this week. We got a game tonight, if you're listening today. And yes, NFL all day. Very excited. Can't wait to discuss next week. Go Dolphins.
I second the Go Dolphins as my second team, but We will see all of you guys next week. Of course, I'm gonna support my co-host as long as you're not playing me or taking my playoff spot. We'll see how it goes 10 weeks into the season.
Fair enough.
And
fair enough.
We're going to leave you with my favorite sounder of the day, the College Roundup sounder. Thank you, TM, for all the hard work. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Follow us on Twitter, guys.
Oh, yes, at BingeCast.
At Binge Sportscast.
Binge Sportscast. Thank you, TM.
You got it, man.
All right. See you guys.
Hit it.
PJ will break it down. Just give him time. College Roundup. TM ain't got no fucking clue. He went D3. Shit.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob O'Girl.